Just for those of you who might not know me, my name is Darlene Matz. My husband is the pastor of New Hope Methodist Presbyterian Church. And I also serve at Kuktovik Presbyterian Church, traveling there once a month to conduct services and other religious things. I'm thrilled to be here. We are actually members here, but we seldom get to worship here. So it's always a blessing when I'm able to do so. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Amen. After my first year here in Fairbanks, I moved up to take care of a two-year-old grandchild. I spent part of the summer in Wisconsin where my husband was serving two churches. The day I left, my son and I had planned to work in the community garden preparing our plots for planting. It was a great plan. But that day, the wind came up and it made it impossible to put down the garden cloth that we were trying to do, even with two of his children standing on the garden cloth to hold it in place. We had great intentions. We had great plans, but we could not control the wind. We don't have much wind here compared to other places where I've lived and compared to what we have in Kuktovik, but even here, the wind can be uncontrollable. In both Hebrew and Greek, the same word can be translated spirit, wind, or breath. The gospel lesson appointed for today centers on a visit from Nicodemus, a Pharisee, who came to Jesus in the night to ask questions of Jesus. We frequently encounter the term scribes and Pharisees in the New Testament without understanding who they are. They're often referred to almost negatively because they opposed Jesus. He did not act in the way that they anticipated that the Messiah would act. Pharisees were teachers of the law. They were good, moral people who tried to follow the Old Testament laws perfectly. Some of the Pharisees believed that if all of Israel kept the Mosaic law perfectly for three consecutive Sabbaths, the Messiah would come, making the coming of the Messiah dependent upon the actions of the people of Israel. Nicodemus is usually considered to be part of the Sanhedrin, the 70-member decision-making body of the Jews. This would have been an indication of how he was respected by other religious leaders. When Jesus began teaching, he often encountered Pharisees challenging his actions and teachings. Nicodemus is unusual. He came alone to question Jesus. Nicodemus recognized that Jesus' actions showed that Jesus came from God, yet Nicodemus did not understand how this could be. So Nicodemus came to ask his questions of Jesus. Nicodemus came in the night. At this time, Pharisees worked during the day to support themselves and studied the Old Testament scriptures at night. Night is frequently symbolic in John about a lack of knowledge. Nicodemus was learned, but he did not understand what Jesus was saying to him. Jesus said, "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again from above." Nicodemus was puzzled by this concept, thinking only of physical birth. Being born again physically is impossible, and being born again from above is also impossible for us on our own. Only God can give us the second birth, which happens through the sacrament of holy baptism. For some people, this happens as infants. For others, it happens when they are older. Whenever, it is still God working, not a human choice. In answering Nicodemus, Jesus speaks of the wind. This was a hard concept for Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, studied the Old Testament laws. Jesus is not changing the topic here, but is describing the working of the Spirit. The Spirit of God cannot be controlled, just as the wind cannot. Even today, many people are like the Pharisees in trying to follow the law. 50 years ago, our denomination decided to ordain women. This was a huge step. At that time, I was still a part of the Missouri Synod, so I was not able to be ordained. But yet, some of the people left the ELCA because of this decision. Whenever a church makes a major decision, people worry about whether God will agree. Our vision of God can easily be limited to a being sitting in judgment on us instead of the loving God described in the familiar 16th verse of this chapter. God sent God's only Son to provide salvation for all who believe. This is good news to us. Salvation is not based on us or on what we do. Although many of us memorized that verse long ago, we may not realize the context in which it appears or what it means for our lives. Jesus' teachings must have been very difficult for Nicodemus, the good Pharisee. His entire life was devoted to the study of the law, and now Jesus indicates God's not just sitting in judgment of our obedience to those laws, but is concerned about all people. The law alone could not show him how to have a relationship with God. Only Jesus could show that. Some of Nicodemus' confusion was caused by the fact that Nicodemus was part of a fixed society. We do not necessarily feel limited by which family we are born into. In our immediate families, my husband and I are the first college graduates. My mother taught school for about 38 years, and yet she did not complete a college degree. Even though a college education was not something that was part of our backgrounds, neither of us felt there was any reason why we could not go to college. But in Nicodemus' time, the family into which one was born generally indicated what one's occupation would be, what status one had, and what one's life would probably be. If your father was a farmer, you became a farmer. If your father was a craftsman, he would train you in that craft, and we believe that Jesus was probably trained to be a carpenter by Joseph. It was a very different type of society. The idea that one could become something else was an unknown ideal, just as the thought of being born again would have changed everything about a person. We believe that such a change does occur to us at our baptism. In our baptism, we do become born again from above. Differences between us break down after our baptism. Our value is not determined by who we are, but by whose we are. God has chosen us to be God's beloved children. Through our baptism with water and the word, we are changed into God's people. We have a new identity and purpose for our lives. This is not our doing in any way, but it is God's act of choosing, claiming, and making us God's children. Jesus is the only one who has come from God, but now we too come from God and are God's children. Life with God is not something that will occur after our physical death, but it occurs now too, that we live with God. Jesus also told Nicodemus that the Son of Man had descended from heaven. This was another difficult saying for Nicodemus. Jesus was equating himself with God to Nicodemus, who, as a Pharisee, was so concerned about not blaspheming that he would not even say the name which God had given to Moses. The Pharisees believed that God was only for the Jewish people. Non-Jews were tolerated if they believed in the Jewish God, but the Jewish people did not try to witness to other groups of people. Jesus upset the religious establishment by eating with people they considered sinners. This included anyone who did not observe the Jewish laws in the same way that the religious establishment did. He healed people without regard to who they were. He proclaimed love to all, even people the Jewish people considered enemies, such as the Samaritans. Jesus broke the Mosaic laws as they had been interpreted by the teachers of the day. Just as the wind could not be controlled, so Jesus could not be controlled by the people of his day. Even Jesus' disciples struggled when Jesus said he must be lifted up as the serpent in the wilderness had been. During the Exodus, many miraculous things occurred, yet the people repeatedly complained to Moses. At one time, the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and many died when they were bitten. Yet when the people admitted their sinfulness by admitting their sin, Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord told him to make a serpent and put it on a pole. The people who were bitten and who would look up to this serpent lived. The bronze serpent had no power on its own, but it saved people only because of their obedience to God's direction to look at this bronze serpent. The cross which crucified Jesus could only kill him physically. That cross had no power over Jesus' divine nature. The worst that could be done to Jesus, killing him, could not stop Jesus or change his relationship to God. We too have the Holy Spirit from the time of our baptism. God is present with us now and forever. It is important that we too continue to look to Jesus, not to our own wants and desires. God is in charge of the church and sends God's Spirit to guide the church in all things. God shows us how the Spirit works through the study of the Scriptures, through response to our prayers, and through God's people. God is not limited by any of the things that limit us. It is hard for us to trust that God loves and cares for the church. When we make decisions, God uses our decisions to guide us. We do not know whether Nicodemus became a follower of Jesus. Many people believe that he may have believed in Jesus because he helped Joseph of Arimathea, a secret follower of Jesus, prepare Jesus' body for burial by bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes weighing 75 pounds. This would have been a very expensive gift. Jesus' body was wrapped in this mixture and put into the tomb. The fact that Nicodemus was identified by name could also mean that he was well known within the Christian community. When we witness, when we share of our faith in Jesus, we never know who will become a follower of Jesus. We are not called to produce results, but to witness of our faith in Jesus Christ. We are called to be ready to tell others what Jesus means to us. Jesus promises to be with us always, so that as we witness, we are not alone, but Jesus is with us. Nicodemus, unlike many of the other Pharisees, at least asked Jesus questions to find out more about what Jesus was teaching. Each of us in worship today have our own story of how we came to faith. Some grew up in families of faith. Some of us came to faith by questioning and looking for meaning in life, and some of us responded to witness given by one of God's followers. In whatever manner we came to faith, the Holy Spirit called us, gathered us, and enlightened us to become a part of God's family. My own family started going to worship after my parents' friends invited them to go to church with them. The pastor and his wife became good friends to our family for the rest of their lives. Through the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion, the Holy Spirit continues to work in us to draw us closer to Jesus, our Savior. On our own, we cannot increase our closeness to God, because God has already given us God's Spirit to work in us. May we continue to serve Jesus with our whole life. Amen. And we will now join in the song of the day. You are my king.